Next on the Old Mole, we're going back to programming Old Moles. Laurie Mercier and Fran Michel review Michael Moore's latest work, his film, Capitalism, A Love Story.
Good morning. This is Fran Michel here with Laurie Mercier, as Bill said, to discuss Michael Moore's latest film, Capitalism, A Love Story. If you've seen any of Moore's films, you have an idea of the style. The documentary mixes archival footage, home movies, interviews, and stunts like Moore's attempts to make a citizen's arrest of the board of AIG or wrapping crime scene tape around Wall Street banks. Indicting capitalism, the film focuses on the economic crisis of the last 2 years, against the background of post-World War II prosperity and the wider sharing of wealth in the 1950s when the richest were taxed at 90%. It quotes a 2006 Citigroup memo analyzing the United States as a plutonomy functioning for the richest 1% and highlights the memo's suggestion that the plutonomy might be threatened by the 99% who are not the richest but who have more votes than the 1%. The film touches on predatory lending, foreclosures, evictions, unemployment, dead peasant insurance, a for-profit juvenile prison, the bank bailout, and the intimacy of the federal government with Goldman Sachs. Along the way, we hear capitalism praised or condemned by Cold War educational films or evicted former homeowners. A number of priests and a bishop are shown declaring that capitalism is not Christian, but is an evil that cannot be reformed. And we get footage from a biblical drama with Jesus redubbed to advocate free enterprise and refinancing your mortgage as an illustration of the propaganda we've been offered. So what do we think of the film's critique of capitalism? I think despite what at least one review has said, this is not really a Marxist analysis of capitalism.
No, it's not a Marxist analysis, but certainly Moore has done more than any other popular filmmaker to draw attention to the failings of capitalism. And he marshals plenty of recent evidence from the bank bailouts to the callous treatment of the sick to underscore just how evil and unworkable it is. And I think even just including the word capitalism in the title of the film is radical because we're a society that refuses to acknowledge the forbidden C words, class and capitalism. And so Moore is really pushing the envelope, I think, in terms of what one finds in box office hits.
That's true, although there are limits that he does not push beyond. So, for instance, at the very end of the film, when he comes out and says that capitalism is a bad system, it's evil, it's got to end, it has to stop. And the alternative that we are invited to turn to is not socialism, but democracy. And so he does a kind of switch there and doesn't say the S word. He'll say capitalism is a problem, but he's not quite ready to come out and say what we need instead is socialism. And in fact, what he seems to be advocating is a kind of social welfare state or welfare capitalism, the sort of mixed economy that most of Europe has.
Although he does provide plenty of hints that socialism might be the preferable model. And in fact, he has a humorous scene where the right is trying to portray Obama as a socialist, and Moore shows how as the more he's called a socialist, the more his credibility climbs, especially among young people who seem interested in this idea of socialism.
And yet, paradoxically, although he does cite that poll result with young people thinking that socialism, about a third of the population thinks socialism is the best system, and fewer than that think capitalism is the best system. But he also notes in his section on Obama's election that as Obama became more and more popular and more likely to win the election, he got more and more money from Wall Street banks, that they were investing in their own future by buying the future president of the United States.
And so he's really underscoring how corrupt the system is, that capitalism is not just an economic system, it's embedded with the political, cultural system of this country. And that might be one of the flaws of the film in that he doesn't explain how or why people don't resist. I mean, we have lots of scenes of people in their misery enduring these foreclosures or unable to access health care. Moore is repeatedly juxtaposing what citizens of Europe and much of Asia have in the terms of a social welfare state. But But why isn't there more resistance? Why don't people rise up against this system?
Well, he does. I mean, he does propose propaganda as one answer, or at least part of an answer. And the ways that, for instance, not only these sort of Cold War educational films that he has clips from, but popular culture is geared toward enforcing the idea that anyone can become rich, and there are, you know, shots of enormous mansions that a smaller figure than 1% of the population can own. And yet the idea is that anyone could make it, anyone could become wealthy. And so we're all willing to sort of wait it out and hold on to that lottery sort of hope that we are going to be among the rich instead of among the vast and increasing numbers of poor and middle class, and increasingly the middle class getting smaller and smaller.
And he does provide some striking examples of alternative economies and alternative ways of organizing work and society. He has the great example of workers in a bakery, and I don't think he ever names the bakery, but workers there earn something like $60,000 a year. Management and employees collaborate on the production of their product and the making of bread. And it seems like this very ideal kind of workplace. And there's also another example of the engineering co-op, where the engineers who work together are all paid the same. They make decisions collectively. I mean, who wouldn't want to work in one of these places? So I think there are some models that are presented in subtle ways suggesting that a socialist democratic workplace is the model for us all.
Yeah, although he talks about it as workplace democracy. He says most workplaces are dictatorships, and somebody in charge tells everybody else what to do. And there are these few models of sort of democratic workplaces where everyone participates and then everyone shares economically in the profits that are made. So there are those examples. There's also the clip he has of FDR presenting his Economic Bill of Rights, which is essentially a list of sort of social welfare policies that everyone should have access to health care and education and housing and a decent job that will allow them to live with dignity. And, you know, there are a few other things that are all, as he points out, the kinds of advantages and rights that workers in Europe have gained and lots of other countries have, but the U.S. does not.
And I think I think he successfully incorporates some of these icons like FDR and Jesus and the idea of democracy as ways to bring in a larger audience to consider some kind of socialist system. Because as he, you know, reveals with some of his footage of Jesus and in interviews with many of these priests who emphasize how evil capitalism is, that this is not a model that Jesus or FDR would have advocated.
Indeed not. I mean, the film really is, if you are a fan at all of Michael Moore's films, I would say it's hilarious and moving by turns and sort of rousing by the end, although it's not entirely clear rousing to what end. We don't end with the sort of individualist suggestions you get at the end of something like An Inconvenient Truth. We don't just, like, go by socialist light bulbs at the end of this. But it's not entirely clear what we are supposed to do. But it certainly is a rousing film. And I'm planning to see it again, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd both encourage everyone to see it and drag your friends and family to see it as well.
And have critical discussions about what really are the alternatives and how we can move toward those. Because there's less, of course, in the film about that. Because it's an hour and a half film. He doesn't have time to, you know, sort of lay out an agenda.
Well, and I think it speaks to the dearth of social movements on the left and the vocabulary, as you pointed out earlier, that we have to even talk about alternatives to capitalism. So the fact that Moore ends the film somewhat abruptly, kind of referring to this vague notion of democracy is what we need, I think it's really up to us, to all of us, to mobilize and to become involved in various social movements that challenge this economic order and begin to represent and model alternatives.
And really, KBOO is one of those models, right? I mean, KBOO is one of the places where you can engage in social activism and find out information that will counter the propaganda that tells you that really what Jesus would have said to you is that you should refinance your mortgage. that there are other ways of looking at the world, and you can find them by listening to KBOO.
And Jesus would have said to support KBOO radio, because this is where we can find the information and the activism and the inspiration to move ahead with some new tomorrow.